Can you hear me?
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Cards, WrestleManias, Strong Style, Evolve, Bullet Club breaking up, and Sasha Banks air kicking Lita at Royal Rumble. So much to talk about with all these big events happening. You need some of the raddest and coolest guys to keep you up to date. But since you're settling with us, my name is Sirius Brad, host of Pin the Shoulders podcast. And of course, I've got my round table with me, our New Japan correspondent Lethal Jay. What's going on, brother?
Hey man, not much. How are you tonight, Red?
Hey man, doing really good. We actually had some hiccups, but guess what? I burped them out. We're going live. We're doing it right now. And of course, we got our other dude, our guy that takes care of our Ring of Honor and our Impact, which should be a very exciting night for you, sir. Jordan Garber.
You know what, guys? Anyone listening from around the world, if you're at your pub or your local bar or at your local sesh or your local hangout or your local job, I want you guys to have a puff of a cigarette. I want you guys to have a drink of a beer or take a hit from a joint, because you guys are listening to, hands down, one of the greatest wrestling podcasts out there right now, Pin the Shoulders. I'm great to be here. And, of course, I'm going to review everything down the middle. We got quite the guest on tonight as well, so it's going to be nothing but a good show.
It's going to be amazing, and he's actually returning to the show. One third of OVE, and they just, I mean, as soon as they stepped into Impact, they were pretty much tag team champions. And folks, I think we're going to get to our guest tonight. Last time this gentleman was on, actually, excuse me, I thought we had him on. All of a sudden, he's not. But folks, maybe he'll be calling back here real shortly. But yeah, really excited. Dave Crist will be joining us. Him and his brother Jay Crist are tearing it up with, obviously, Impact Wrestling, becoming the tag team champions in a very short time. And I think this may be him right here. The last time this boot to the gut championship grabbing Impact superstar was on the show, he didn't even know if he was going to stop or wrestle in the ring again. And what happened? Japan trio championships, Impact debuts, taking the pro wrestling world by storm with his brother Jake and the worldwide desperado Sami Callihan. This gentleman is Dave Crist. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Hello.
Hello,
Mr. Crist.
Do we have him on the line?
I thought we did. Dave Crist.
Yes.
There he is. I apologize, sir. For some reason, they had you on mute. Excuse me. I hope
you heard
the introduction, though.
I did indeed.
Awesome. Welcome back to the show. Last time you were on the show, we actually only had a couple of hosts. Phil Stanford, the president of wrestling. But I actually expanded a little bit. I decided to get myself a new Japan correspondent, which is Lethal J.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
And then, you know what? We can't have a New Japan correspondent without of course, Ring of Honor and an Impact Wrestling correspondent. And his name is Jordan J.R. Garber.
Great having you on the show, Dave. Looking forward to this great interview.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, sir, of course,
you know, we had you on the show last time. We talked about your beginnings, you know, where you got your training from and, you know, who you're training now, because you have a lot going on for you. Not only are you winning tag team championships and trio championships all over, you got your boys doing the same thing. Trey Miguel, Zachary Wentz. I mean, everyone's blowing it up. How do you feel knowing that your boys, your seedlings, if you will, are out there killing it just like you are?
It's one of those situations where if you were to tell me this 2 years ago, I don't know if I would have believed you, especially with you know, Zach only being 2 years in and Trey being under my tutelage for the last 2 years. I would have never thought that, you know, they would be as far as they are, but they're really taking over right now. They are definitely setting a path that is very difficult to travel down, if you will. And you know, there's a lot of other kids that we have. MJF in Dayton now, doing some training,
right,
with Sammy,
right.
And I. Ace Romero is here now. Like, he's not necessarily training with us, but you know, he's here expanding his knowledge. Ace Austin is here. We got Samantha Heights, Clayton Gaines. There's a lot of really good up and coming kids in this area, and they're really starting to make an impact. No pun intended, but they're really starting to put a stamp and really starting to show the world why Dayton, Ohio, and not just Dayton, but why Ohio itself is pro wrestling.
Absolutely. And speaking of Impact, since we're on the subject, when you came into Impact, you actually wrestled against Zachary Wentz. And someone else, I forget, I don't think he was one of your boys, but Zachary Wentz was definitely one of them. I mean, you ended up defeating him to advance in the tournament. How was that?
Was
that must have
Jason
been, like,
Cade.
Bittersweet.
Jason Cade was one of the other kids, and he's Sam McCallahan's
okay.
kid.
Oh, wow.
So,
all right.
It was really crazy. It's like, legit, the first little thing that happened, Zachary threw a knee and knocked my brother clean out.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. So, like, as our debut, I was like, oh, shit, this sucks. Like, fuck, what are we going to do now?
Right.
So then
right.
He got back on page, and you know, everything was rocking and rolling. I think that we had a rough start, but after that first week, I think that we really started to put our stamp and our mark on Impact Wrestling.
And we're not gonna get right into the match that you guys just had, the hardcore – I don't even know if hardcore is the proper word for it. The match that you guys just had with LAX, amazing. We'll get into that in a little bit, but I'm going to let some of my boys take over and allow them to ask some questions. Mr. Garber, please hit Dave Chris with some questions.
Yeah, absolutely. First one to start it off. Nothing like a tough question or anything, but I really enjoy hearing different stories from different wrestlers from around the world explaining how they got the call to a major wrestling company, a major wrestling promotion, or even a top independent promotion or something along those lines. How was the procedures of getting the call to Impact, and kind of what was going through your mind knowing that you're going to be on the scene pretty soon and you're even going to get your name out there even more?
Well, I was in an airport coming back home from Austin, Texas. We had just wrestled for Wrestle Circus, and Scott D'Amore hit me up and was just like, hey, we'd be interested in having you do some dark matches and stuff. Would you be interested? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, are you available for these dates? And I'm like, we are available. We would have to cancel something, but then, you know, we would be available. And he goes, what Fed is it? And I said, it's AAW, Danny Daniels. And he goes, no, don't cancel on Danny. Danny's one of my friends. Like, don't do that. We'll figure something else down the line. So I was like, okay, cool. So then he got a hold of me and he's like, hey, would you be interested in doing some stuff in July? You know, some of the people want to see you guys. They want to see what you guys got. So, you know, let's go ahead and let's pencil us in for July. So I was like, okay, cool. So we were ready to rock and roll. Like, you know, whatever they needed to do, we were down to do. And then a few weeks later, I was at the tattoo shop, Bluebird Tattoo in Middletown, where I work. And he gave me a call, and he's like, Dave, I got some bad news for you. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, I was talking to Jeff and some of the guys, and we're no longer interested in, you know, you guys coming in and doing some dark matches. So immediately, like, my heart sank, and I was like, fuck, this sucks. And he goes, but I need your email address so I can send the contract over.
That's awesome.
So, like, as soon as that happened, I was like, fuck. So, like, I was just setting up for a piercing.
Shit just got real.
I was just setting up for a piercing, and I was like, hold on for a second. I looked at my boy Fudd, and I'm like, Fudd, can you get this? Like, I gotta talk on the phone real quick. And he goes, yeah. So I talked to him. He sent us the stuff over, and basically, like, printed up the contract right then and there at the tattoo shop, and we all looked at it. Like, me, my friend Fudd, my friend Joey, and my friend Jeremy, we were all looking, and it's like, holy shit, this is fucking awesome. And they were, like, super, super, super excited about it. And I didn't want to seem too eager to sign it, so, like, I waited a few days. Like, I think we waited about 2 weeks because we were ready to sign right then and there. And my brother was like, oh, what the fuck do we do? What do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what protocol is on this. So we took it to our friend that's a lawyer, and he looked it over, and he goes, yeah, this is a very fair contract. Like, that's awesome. So Scott got a hold of me. Because he told me, he goes, if you have any questions, please feel free to get a hold of me. And, you know, we'll talk about things. So I was like, okay, cool. So then, yeah, that was it.
Very nice. Very nice.
Awesome. Good for you, man. I'll bring it back to the rest of the panel for the next questions.
Absolutely. And I had to ask real quick before it slips in my mind. It's always, you know what? As kids and as we grow up, there's always, you know, the hope of holding a championship belt. I don't care who you are. You just always want – having a championship belt would just be sick. What was the first thing – actually, what's the first weird thing that you did with your belt as soon as you get it? And you know, you don't have to be incriminating. I don't want you to get in trouble with Impact Wrestling. But, I mean, you know, is there anything that is just like you have to do as soon as you win a strap?
In all honesty, as soon as we won the titles, I remember we were at Sami Callihan's house. This is before he did some stuff with Impact. We were staying at his house, and we were staying at his house, and he looks at it and he goes, "Boys, we're starting to take over the world." And then we put the belts right next to all. Like, we always have this thing, like, my brother Sammy and I have this thing where whatever belts that we have at that moment in time, we put them all together. Like, there's a real iconic picture of all three of us, probably 2010, where we have probably like 8 belts, and they're all right in front of us with our masks, like, right there. So,
oh, nice.
we recaptured that picture because, like, we tend to do that a lot. We recapture pictures. Like, there's one picture when Sammy first got back on the independent scene where it's the three of us asleep in the back of a car, and we just so happened to, like, recreate that photo 1 year to the day later. So, like, it's kind of like what we do is we recreate, you know, photos that mean a lot to us. So that's, like, really the first thing we did was we took a picture. And it's not like we posted or anything. Like, that's kind of just, like, a very proud picture for us.
I have to ask you, though, when are you going to recreate the epic picture of you and Sami Callihan laying in the ocean? Just kind of, you know, just it's not a romantic cuddle. It's just, you know, hey, what's up, buddy?
It's a strong embrace. A strong embrace. You know, there's a good possibility next time WrestleMania is down in Florida, we're going to go back down to Miami and recreate that picture.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And maybe you can crash WrestleMania or something. That'd be fantastic. OVE crashing WrestleMania.
I don't think they would let us there. I don't think that they like our time there.
They'll have to get over that because, like you said, you know, you guys are taking over the world. Lethal J, I'm sorry, man. Please proceed, sir.
That's okay. Dave, what was it like to work for JCW? I know you worked with them in the past. I think you started working with them like in 2010. You know, what's it like working for, you know, like a lot of people obviously out who don't like, you know, keep up with a lot of wrestling probably look at something like that as, you know, that's pretty crazy. You know, it's like, you know, the Insane Clown Posse runs that and everything. What's it like working for JCW?
In all honesty, working for JCW is like one of the best things that I've been able to experience. Like, getting to wrestle at the Gathering each year has just been an amazing, amazing thing. Like, I remember one year we got to see, like, George Clinton. We got to see Warren G., Vanilla Ice, MC Hammer. Like, we've gotten to see a lot of really cool nostalgic bands and a lot of really cool, like, nostalgic acts because of wrestling for ICP. And of course, you know, just wrestling at the Gathering is just a it's an experience all in itself. And you know, Violent J and Shaggy Joe and Joey, they take care of the boys. They really do. Like, they've always taken care of us. They've never done us wrong. They've always just been really, like, upstanding. They've always been really cool with us. We've never really had a problem with them at all. I did have a problem at one point in time with Kevin Gill, KG. But since then, him and I are working on squashing that. And you know, I will go on public record right here, right now. There were some things that were misconstrued. I read too far into what he was saying, and I overreacted. And yeah,
as we all do sometimes.
That just kind of sucks. Yeah, but you know, me being a professional and me being an adult, I should have not overreacted. I was going on pure emotion. I'm not making excuses for myself, but I hadn't slept in a few days. We were on a road trip. I don't remember. I think that weekend was Chicago, New Jersey, and then back home. So, like, there was very little sleep, you know, that whole entire 3 days. So, you know, I'll go on record saying I fucked up. I shouldn't have done that.
Hey, man, that's
working
that's
for
biggie.
JCW is amazing. I feel like it's necessary. I feel like it's something that I need to get off my chest in a public forum that I haven't really got to do yet.
Hell yeah, man. Well, I'm glad you could do it on here, and I hope the, you know, the right people are listening. Absolutely. And I have to say, you know, a lot of people won't do that, and that's. And you know, that's what breaks up a lot of businesses, a lot of bridges get burnt that way, and that's unfortunate because, you know, you got a lot of cats on one side of the bridge that want to compete, and the, you know, and you got, you know, a bunch on the other side, and if that bridge is burnt, then, you know, this guy's, I don't want to wrestle this guy over here because he's friends with this guy over here, and I don't want to hurt no feelings and stuff like that. So it's good to know, like, someone wants to mend it and go on a public forum and say, hey, guess what? I fucked up. Let's move forward and you know, continue to do some good business.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those situations where it's like, in all honesty, life's too short, man. Like,
right.
You never know what's going to happen. You know, like you said earlier, there's one point in time where I wasn't even sure if I was going to ever wrestle again. So
yeah.
You know, that kind of weighs heavy on you after a while, and it's one of those situations where it's like, okay, well, it's time to own up to what I'm doing and what I'm saying. So let's go ahead and do that.
Well, it was funny though, because you were on the show and you had said, he's like, fuck, man, I don't even know what's wrong with me, let alone if I'm going to go back into the ring. And I think actually you just had found out it was your back, your lower back, wasn't it?
Yeah, 4 bulging disc.
Right, 4 bulging. And
whoa.
I'm not going to fucking happen. And I remember seeing, like, 4 months later, like, going to Japan. I'm like, cool, man. So he's good.
Well,
how did that feel,
Mike? To go to Japan?
Yeah, man.
Or just the back?
Well, both. Let's go with both.
Okay, well, I started physical therapy in May. And I continued with that until about the time that I was about to go to Japan. So they got me to as close to 100% as I was going to be able to get at that point in time. And I just remember I did PCW first. That was my first match back. And I was like, Gary, get on a plane. And I was talking to my friend JT Davidson, and he goes, man, don't worry about your back. Go over there and just kill it. Do what killers do and just kill it. I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah, man.
So I just remember being on that plane, just really being worried about would I be able to perform? Would I be able to live up to the expectations that they have for me? I was by myself. There was nobody else there. So I remember when I landed, I was like, okay, listen, this is what you're going to do. You're going to kill it. You're going to treat this trip like it was, like it's possibly the last time you're ever going to go to Japan. You're going to have fun. You're going to see everything you want to see, and you're going to do it. And that's exactly what I did.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Hey, guys, I'm hogging again. Go ahead, Jordan.
Absolutely. I'm really glad that you did bring up that experience in Japan. I actually have two questions. We'll start with the Japan experience. Working from promotions to like AAW, and we're going to Japan and doing JCW and doing Impact and going around the world in wrestling. What's your overall opinion on adjusting to the different styles that you've learned along the way?
In all honesty, I feel like our style fits every style. Like I like to think that myself, my brother, and Sam McCallion have a style that suits everyone. So we don't really necessarily have to change our style very much. It's just more or less everyone speaks wrestling. So it's very easy to just like adapt to what is going on around us, to figure out what everyone in that particular place likes and what they don't like. Because, you know, wrestling fans are different all the way around the world. But for the most part, as long as you're having fun, like, and you're being entertained, I don't feel like I don't feel like it's difficult to adapt to any style. I like to tell my students that the more genuine you are towards wrestling fans, and the more genuine you are in the ring, the more people can feel it. Because people, like, real knows real. And people want to come, people want to have fun, people want to suspend their disbelief, and people want to, like, go and just, you know, forget about whatever is going on in their life at that moment in time just to watch wrestling. So they're there to have fun. They're there to be entertained. It's your job to go out there and give them what they want.
And they can sense when you're not putting your heart into it.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that you did elaborate on that as well. Working with Sami Callihan, the alliance that you do have with OBE and their battles against LAX, what's your experience so far coming out of that major feud with the company? Things look to be going up and up, and just kind of look back on that experience in the time being.
Well,
incredible is what I'm thinking.
During the feud. Yeah, during the feud, it was like, okay, what the fuck am I doing? Because during the feud, there was just so much that was going on, and there was so much happening, and like we were adjusting to being on TV, and we were adjusting to doing stuff for that style of audience, and to make the progressions that we made throughout that feud was just one of those things where it just like it felt natural. It didn't feel like it was forced. So I think everyone was on board, and I think everyone was like, okay, let's kill this. Let's do this. As far as like LAX goes, I don't know what they were thinking. They you know, they do their own thing. You never see them. So in all honesty, you know, like I said, we were thinking, you know, let's go out there and show the world what we have. And because they had already been an Impact for a while, so they didn't have much to prove. At least I don't think. I think being the new kids on the block, we had more to prove than they did. So we had to make sure that we went in every time we stepped in the ring.
Yeah, And that's exactly what you did. The bamboo shoots, man. I seen him in the back of his pocket, and I was like, those are going into Dave Chris's forehead. What do you say to, I don't even know how to explain it. What the fuck does that feel like, dude? That's how I'm trying to say it, I guess. All of a sudden, boom, you have a handful of fucking bamboo shoots in your forehead, and you're on top of a fucking ladder. It's just, what is going through your head? You have thousands of fans screaming OV fucking E. You've got bamboo shoots in your fucking forehead at the top of this what is going through your head other than the bamboo shoots?
In all honesty, as he was driving the skewers in my head, I just kept thinking, fuck, I'm about to go off this fucking ladder.
Right.
What the fuck? Because, I was in shock at that. There's a moment in time where, I was legitimately in shock and, I couldn't feel my body, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah,
because,
yeah. I didn't feel my body when I seen it.
Jabbing into my head, I just felt a shock go through my body, and I'm like, fuck. I felt like I was paralyzed. Legit, I just felt I was paralyzed because, the first time that I did the skewers with David Starr, they didn't go as deep as these ones did. And
you both did.
These ones, yeah. And then these ones in particular just felt like they went deeper. So, I don't know if this makes any sense, but you can just literally feel it go through each layer of skin, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
And you can just feel it slowly going in there. Because it wasn't like it was like a jolt and that was it. It literally felt like I was in slow motion. As it happened, I was like, fuck. And then as I was going over for the suplex onto the tables, once again, I just kind of felt like I was floating. And then once I hit and all the wind got knocked out of me and the board slapped me in the face and knocked me out, I couldn't.
Oh.
I was like, okay. I didn't know what I was doing until the medics that were in the back poured alcohol on my head. And that woke me up.
Yeah, man. God damn.
Woke me up.
Yeah, that would wait. Jesus, sweet Jesus, man. Well, all I got to say is, folks, if you're listening at home, if you have not seen this match yet, it's a fucking must-see match. It's an absolutely great match, start to finish. Can you tell the folks at home where they could actually view that actual match?
Actually, it's on YouTube, Impact's YouTube. You can find it there. And I believe it's also on Impact's Twitch channel.
Nice. Twitch is taking over. They're doing a lot of stuff with Twitch. I think Wrestling Circus does Twitch right now, aren't they? They do all
their
live broadcasts.
There's a lot of companies are starting to use Twitch. I think House of Hardcore does some stuff on Twitch, Impact. It wasn't too long ago. I remember sitting in an airport, and me and Sammy and my brother were sitting there talking, and we were talking about Wrestle Circus being on Twitch, and we're like, this is going to be the future of wrestling someday. And 6 months later, it kind of feels like it's getting ready to take over.
Well, free streaming media.
For sure.
It's just so easily available.
Right. Right.
I definitely think that Twitch has overtaken Ustream as well as a live broadcast provider. I think it's definitely weighed out as a better option in the long run.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of people that are complaining that they're not seeing a lot of money from Twitch. I don't know, everyone has their own deal. I don't know what everyone's deal is, but I remember there are some people bitching about, oh, we wanted to do this but they weren't going to give us much money, blah blah blah. It's like, well, if I owned a company like that and I didn't know what you were going to do as far as numbers go, I wouldn't offer you a bunch of money either.
Right. Yeah,
I think people are overlooking the fact that they overlook the fact that, hey, this is a way to get your product seen. This is essentially free publicity because they're willing to to put advertisements out about your stuff, who else is going to do that for you?
Right.
Like, of course, you're going to try to do it for yourself, but I just feel like with Twitch, it's just such an easy way to make your product available for the mass. And I think that there's a lot of people that are kicking themselves in the ass now that they didn't try it before. And now they're starting to get, you know, that, oh, fuck, I fucked up.
Time to catch up, if you can. I mean, it's almost impossible right now. I have to ask you, and I'm going to, you know, I'm sure there's, you know, a list of them, but I'll limit it to three. Who do you think the most overrated and most underrated wrestler in the business today is?
In all honesty, like, I don't really believe in underrated and overrated because everyone's there for a reason. I just had this conversation with someone this past weekend, and somebody was telling me, man, Sammy Guevara is way overrated. And to me, I'm like, well, what makes you think that? Like, me personally, I like Sammy Guevara a lot, but I don't feel like he's overrated. I feel like he's a young kid with a bright future. He has a lot to learn, but he's grasping wrestling the way he needs to grasp it. He's like, you know, making wrestling his. So, you know, a lot of people also say that, like, John Cena's overrated. But John Cena has, like, one of the hardest work ethics of anybody in professional wrestling. I don't think there's anyone that works harder than he does. I think anyone that – so what?
Oh, I have to agree with you on that. I mean, it's hard to – I'm not a big John Cena fan, but when it comes to his work ethic, it's unmatchable.
It's and it's one of those things where, like, a lot of people hate on him, and John Cena is one of my favorites based on the fact that he can do a lot of different styles. With him being as big as he is and him being able to do the style of stuff that he does, like, he busts out stuff that, you know, a lot of people couldn't imagine he was doing. Like, I remember his feud with Punk, and it was like, oh, Punk's really dragging him through this and really carrying him. But it's like, I didn't see it that way. I saw it as, John Cena is holding his own, and John Cena is showing everyone why he belongs to be, or why he belongs as the top spot guy.
Right.
And, you know, that's just my personal opinion. You know, everyone has a different opinion. I think opinions are a lot like ice cream. I like mint chocolate chip and cookie dough. You might like chocolate. You might like vanilla. It doesn't really matter. But I don't think there's anyone that's overrated. As far as underrated, I think there's a lot of people that are underrated. I said for a long time Zachary Wentz was underrated because everyone saw Desmond Xavier, and they're like, oh, Des is so amazing. And he has that tag partner, that white kid, right? What's his name? Wentz. And he's just finally starting to, like, really, like,
he's blowing up,
come into his own. And I think Myron Reed is another one of my kids that is very underrated right now. The kid's only a year in, and he's starting to do a lot of traveling. He has the heart and the desire to be a wrestler. And the thing is, like, he lives in my house. And when I say he lives in my house, his stuff stays in my house. And he stays in my house maybe 2 days a week.
Oh, shit.
He's here for most of the time. He's here for, like, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And then he's wrestling Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Usually goes home to Louisville on Monday, then comes back. And so, like, the kid just is nonstop wrestling. He eats and breathes.
What was
wrestling.
His name again?
Myron Reed.
Myron Reed, folks. Make sure you remember that name because, I mean, shit, dude. Literally, like, it seems like 9 out of 10 people that go through training with you end up, you know, getting it the fuck done. And like I said at the beginning of the show, that's a hell of a feeling, man.
Well, we have four simple logics in our school, and it's very simple rules. Number one, this is a family, treat it as such. Rule number two, eyes, ears open, mouth shut. Rule number three, be a good human being, which it also applies to number one as well, but just be a good human being. Treat people with respect. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat people like they, you know, like they matter. I think a lot of people don't do that nowadays. I think a lot of people just they shit on everyone and shit on everything, and it's because they have their own insecurities and, you know, they're not happy with their lives, so now they got to try to make everyone else's life shitty. And then rule number four, put the work in.
Yep.
So everyone that comes in, yeah, I think those are four easy rules to live by, and I think it doesn't just apply to wrestling. I think that applies to all walks of life.
Yes, sir.
So if you just come in with a good attitude, you come in ready to put the work in, because, like, I'm 35 years old. I'll be 36 this year. And I'm trying to keep up with these kids. I'm trying to make sure that I'm setting a good example. So, you know, I'm up each morning by 9:30. I get my stretches in. I get my cardio in. I get my first lift in. Then I usually get food, and I usually come back. I'll chill with the kids for a little bit. We're good at training. I'll get off of training, come home, lift again, then go to sleep, and it repeats the next day, and it repeats the next day, and it repeats the next day, and it repeats the next day. Unless I'm wrestling, then obviously that factoid changes where, you know, obviously I'm traveling. But 5 days a week, you know, I'm pulling 2 days in the gym, and these kids are pulling it with me. These kids are putting the work in, and they're trying to put themselves on the map.
And quite literally they are. I mean, it seems like you probably have someone somewhere. Yeah, I mean, actually, where did no, they're just in Japan right now. Zachary and Wentz, they're in Kurik and Hall right now, correct?
Yep. Yes, they are.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
They're over there with DDT.
I've been doing a lot. Fuck yeah, man. Yeah, well, one of our guys, Royce Isaacs, he's been on the show a couple times too. He was I think he just came back from there a couple months ago. He's in LA right now, but anyways, I digress.
Yeah.
I've been doing this thing, it's like word association. I'm just going to spit out a word or a phrase, and the first thing that comes to your head, you just spit right out, man.
Sounds
cool?
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Yep.
I got to start with the obvious. OVE.
Taking over.
There it is. Behind every man is a blank.
Strong woman.
There it is. If I had a nickel for every time blank, I'd be rich.
I said fuck.
I would be rich too, man. Super Bowl.
Patriots.
Yeah, man. I wish, man.
I'll be honest with you. I am not a Patriots fan, but God damn, is Tom Brady handsome?
It's true. He has like a million fucking teeth. It's ridiculous. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm a Browns fan. I grew up a Browns fan, so obviously I'm used to losing. So when I see Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe this handsome motherfucker will do it.
That guy looks like he could do something real well.
The only thing wrong with him is he went to Michigan.
Oh, Michigan? Oh, shit.
Yeah, he went to Michigan. That's the only thing wrong with him.
I'm not a big Michigan fan either. I just never have been. I went to Michigan. I like Greek Town. That's fun. But not so much the sports teams.
Yeah.
Women's Revolution.
Strong. Happening.
Yeah, man. They're fucking kicking ass. And actually, you know, I'm going to segue real quick, and I have to ask about the Trios champions, the Rockstar Pro Trio Championships. Are you still holding them with Sami Callihan and Havoc Death Machine, or Havoc?
We just lost them last Friday.
Ah, fuck, dude. But you know what? You guys ended up taking them from the Knight Riders. What was it like to capture it with Havoc, though? I mean, I understand, you know, Sami Callihan, he's fucking awesome. He's the man. He's a worldwide desperado. But Havoc, she's been freaking blowing it up. Something to be proud of.
Well, between Havoc and Nevaeh, those are the girls of OI4K. You know, those are the women who are never really mentioned as part of our group, but they are very much a part of OI4K or OVE as anyone else, as the three of us. You know, whether it's JT Davidson, Sammy Callahan, Jake Crist, Dave Crist, Nevaeh Crist, and you know, Jessica Havoc are just as much a part of that group. So to be Trios champion with Jessica Havoc was like, it's like, you know, getting to share something with your family. Like, she's like a sister to me. So, you know, being able to share that moment and being able to look over and all three of us, and then my brother coming out, because my brother was the world champion at Rockstar at the same time. So, all
right.
You know, all four of us and JT Davidson was, you know, at the ring or out in the ring. And, you know, there's a picture of all four of us just kind of just chilling with our belts. And it's like, okay, that's what's up.
Yeah, no doubt, right? Damn it. That's fucking awesome. You know what? We asked last time you were on the show, we asked everyone the dreaded road story. You gave us one hell of a road story. Enjoyed it immensely. But before we get to that, boys, do we have any more questions for Dave Crist before we ask him to tell everyone where we can find him next and his next Pin the Shoulders podcast road story?
No, I think I covered everything personally. I enjoyed you answering my questions, Dave, so I do appreciate that. And I'm
no
looking
problem.
Forward to hearing the road story before we wrap up the interview.
He has good ones. He just won't tell them all.
what's next for Dave, Chris? You know, you kind of any hopes for the future or anything like that? You know, what are you looking forward to in 2018?
Looking forward to regaining the Impact tag team titles. Looking forward to you know, continuing to show the world why the brothers Crist and you know, Sammy Callahan are, you know, by far the best unnoticed professional wrestling or professional wrestlers in the world. Because, you know, Sammy has a lot of buzz, but there was a long time where a lot of people didn't know who my brother and I were. We were just, oh yeah, that's yeah. Sammy's friends. You know, it's Sammy and friends. So now people are starting to recognize us and say, oh shit, like, you know, these dudes are on point. Like, you know, why haven't I known about these dudes before? And then they go back and they look at, you know, the places we've worked and the matches we've had throughout the years, and they're like, holy fuck, these guys are fucking great. Like, what the
and
fuck was I thinking? What was I doing?
Right, and what people don't realize is you actually trained Sammy Callahan. Is that correct?
I was one of the people. Yes, I was one of the people to help train him.
Yeah, that's freaking badass. You know what? And before you tell the road story, we cannot have you leave without your number one fan asking you a couple questions. And of course, that number one fan is Tara Dolly. Tara, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm actually getting ready to go to the Eagles parade tomorrow since I live in Philly now.
Oh, boo. But Dave, she's been wanting to, you know, she was on the show last time. She's been asking me for the last couple weeks since we found out you're coming back on, if she could ask you a couple questions. Tara, we're getting close to the end of the show, but absolutely ask one of your favorite wrestlers a question.
I was actually there when you won the titles, and I actually got to hold the title because I was the only smart fan in the Impact Zone cheering for Dave Crist and Jake Crist.
And I heard Sammy Callahan ripped up your Pin the Shoulders podcast poster.
Unfortunately, yes.
That hurts my feelings.
Well, that's Sammy
Callahan's
a desperado.
But anyways, Tara, please go ahead.
Okay, I have three questions. One of them is, if you have to be in a car for 24 hours with me or Patty, who would you pick and why?
Well, in all honesty, I wouldn't be in a car for 24 hours.
Well, let's say 4 hours.
Because with my back,
four,
the way it is,
four.
I just feel
four
like
hours,
24
then.
Hours in a car would be awful.
That would be horrible.
Am I sitting in the front seat?
Actually,
or am I driving?
You're driving, and it's only two car seater. Actually, I was
it's
driving.
A two seater.
You're
driving. Well, I guess you just answered it for me because you just said you were driving. So
actually,
yeah,
me, Patty, or me driving.
There it is.
Well,
right,
I don't know. I don't know how either one of you drive, so I'm going to go ahead and just take the wheel on this one, just because I know that I'm going to get there safe. Just joking. Of course, I'm going to pick you, silly.
Okay.
There
what's
it
your
is.
Favorite? I saw three of your tattoos. I like the Beetlejuice one, the Virgin Mary, and skeleton tattoos. What is your favorite one of all time?
My favorite tattoo of all time?
Lily, be quiet.
Probably, I'm going to go ahead and say that it is my new Sally tattoo that I just got on my forearm.
Okay.
I'm
going to
say that one's probably my favorite because I think.
And my last question is, how well did you do at mini golf at the Impact Zone? Because I heard you were trying to taunt Jake a little bit because I was on Jake's team, but somebody wanted me to be on your team, but Jake wanted me to be on his team. I had to choose. I couldn't choose.
In all actuality, somehow you guys finished for us, and I actually shot a very low score, which turned out to be the second lowest score, right behind my brother.
There it
my
is.
Brother
I got number
one
for my group.
Than me.
I got number one. And if you can go to any store in Florida, if you can go to Lush, what would you pick and why?
She's getting tough questions, bro. I'm sorry, man.
At Lush? I don't even know what Lush is.
It's what I gave you for your beard.
Oh, the beard balms and stuff. Well, obviously it would be beard balm or beard wash or beard something.
Right, that's what seems to be the theme. Well, yeah. Hey, Tara, I really appreciate you calling and talking with Dave Chris. I hope
I'll
you have a good
Saturday
night.
Saturday because I'm going to bring my Eagles jersey and he's going to be smoking in my duff because he won't. I'll be screaming really loud because I'm bringing the idiot Patty with me.
Sweet.
There it is,
folks. I'll be at CCW this weekend where you can see me.
And I'll be driving Ooh. There, too.
Hell
nice.
Yeah.
She's going to be following you, sir, for the rest of your life.
No,
well, hey, Tom,
number
thank
one.
You again.
He's actually number one. No more trades. Number one is Dave Chris. I've been a Dave Chris girl since 2006.
We'll be looking forward to seeing the tattoo on Instagram then.
Definitely.
I already put it up yesterday.
There it is. Well, hey, Tara, you have a good night now. Thank you.
Bye.
Good night, Tara.
Well, hey, Dave.
Bye. Yes.
She begged me, man. She begged me. She needed to talk to Dave Chris. Well,
it's
hey, man, before you go, can you tell the folks real quick, I think you just mentioned it, CCW, but is there anywhere else where we can catch Dave Chris at a live show? And, of course, after that, your next road story.
Well, you can catch me at CCW this weekend. You can catch me at the Pro Wrestling Revolver takes Naito takes Dayton on February, I believe it's the 16th, or is that the 15th? I think it's the 16th. And then the next day we'll be at it is the 16th. And the next day we'll be at AAW on the 17th, and then on the 18th of February we will be in Nashville.
Very nice. Very nice.
So I'm taking a long, long, long vacation until WrestleMania weekend.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, folks, we're ready now, Mr. Chris. Can you please tell us another awesome road story before you bid us adieu?
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this question. What was the last road story?
The last one? It was
the Ultimate Warrior one?
No, it was the Applebee's one.
Okay, the Applebee's one. Okay, that's a good one,
yes,
too.
Sir.
Okay, so
yes,
there was this referee we used to travel with, and we found out that this referee kid was buying trunks from the Ultimate Warrior. So basically he was just getting trunks and just framing them and, you know, just buying a lot of memorabilia from different old-time wrestlers. And basically, once we found out that he had the Ultimate Warrior's number, we started calling the Ultimate Warrior while he was in the front seat driving my SUV. So,
oh, shit.
As he is, like, figuring out what we're doing, he reaches back, almost drives the truck, the SUV, into a mountain. We're on our way to Pennsylvania. Almost drives my SUV into a mountain. So then we took him to wrestler's court. He was found guilty, and from that point on, he had to be my bitch. So that night, we made him run the naked mile. So we went
who was
to the
judge?
Darkest. Sterling James Keenan was the judge. We were on our way to Far North Wrestling.
Oh, okay.
So Corey Graves, I guess, was the judge in that particular case. So we made him run the naked mile, and we went to the darkest, creepiest fucking road, and we said we were only going to drive a mile, but we ended up driving 2 miles. And right before he got to us, we drove off again. And it's probably, I think, January out, so it's cold as fuck.
Oh, shit.
So his shish is dangling. His bits just dangling, and he was trying to get the car, and we kept stopping and going and stopping and going. And then eventually, we let him in the car and all that kind of stuff. And we end up, like, ribbing him for the next, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 weeks. We're just making him do random things. So that was really funny.
That's I'm sure as we all know, you know, taking advantage of a naked friend is always funny and always a good time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Because, like, just when he thought we were going to let him in, we didn't. And he just kept getting so butthurt about it.
And
that's
oh,
when he gets
shit,
to drive
man.
My car almost into a mountain. Fuck him.
Yeah, you can't be doing that fucking shit, dude. If you're going to buy the shorts, you got to. If it walks like a duck, it talks like you're going to get called the Ultimate Warrior is what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
So get over
exactly.
It. Well, Mr. Chris, thank you. You know, thank you again for coming on the show. We always appreciate it. Always a great guest. And you know what? Maybe once again, we can get you on for a third time next year. And
that'd
see
be awesome.
How much of the world you guys have taken over, because I have some good feelings for you guys.
Well, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Hey, boys, would you like to say anything to Dave, Chris, before we say goodbye?
Once again, Dave, thanks for being on the program tonight, and we look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Oh, definitely. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, same here, Dave. Thanks a lot.
Excellent, man. You have a good night, and keep doing what you're fucking
you
doing,
too.
Bro. We're all fucking loving it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man.
Take care. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Bye.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, once again, Pin the Shoulders podcast has done what we've always fucking done. And excuse my language because I'm in that mood tonight. We bring badass guests, talk to them about their badass lives, and we give it to you for how much do we charge? Absolutely fucking free is what we give it to you guys for. I hope you, if you were listening, I hope you enjoyed the Dave Chris interview. If you missed it, I'm sorry. You can't listen to it ever again. I'm just joking. What you do is you go to thechairshot.com where you can listen to this interview. You can listen to all the other interviews, and you can read opinion columns, listen to other podcasts, read reviews about all the shows, Ring of Honor, Impact, NXT, pretty much everything. We've got it on thechairshot.com. Guys, how did you feel about that interview? Dave, Chris, man.
You know, you're talking about a wrestler who's done it all so far. He's been around the world. He's wrestling for the top company, one of the top companies, I should say. He's the man, and it's definitely great to hear his insight, especially from someone new to the business like myself. To hear advice from him is very valuable, and I'll let it sink in for my future endeavors.
Absolutely. Lethal J.
Yeah, no, Dave's cool. I definitely enjoyed talking to him. As far as my first time, I didn't get to talk to him first time he was on there. So, but no, yeah, for sure. It's cool that we're starting to talk to some people. Obviously, him and his brother, they're starting to pick up some steam. You know, they're on televised, you know, programming and stuff like that. So yeah, no, it was great, great interview.
Absolutely, guys. Like I kind of introed the show with, there is a crap ton, and I like saying crap ton. Of stuff that has been happening. one, we've got, you know, Royal Rumble, or not Royal Rumble, Ring of Honor is actually kicking up to start their actually it's New Japan Wrestling, excuse me, not Ring of Honor. It's a strong style pay-per-view that's coming up, Lethal J. What's going on with that? Do you know anything with about the card that's happening?
The Strong Style one, the only thing that I absolutely know about the Strong Style Evolved one, which is going to be in L.A., is that they're rumored to have Naito and Jericho at the card. We're still going to have a new beginning. We have another New Beginning show coming up very soon, actually, between and the big match is the big match at that's going to be Sonata and Okada. For the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, also Will Ospreay and Takahashi. There's so much New Japan stuff I can talk about right now. They already had the New Japan the first set of New Japan shows. Those ones were in Sapporo. That of course we saw Minoru Suzuki winning the Intercontinental title from Takahashi, and of course, like most people know, also Jay White winning the U.S. title from Kenny. And some big stuff happening with the Bullet Club and the Golden Lovers and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, there's been tons of stuff going on. Like I said, the Evolve show, there hasn't been a lot revealed yet. But like I said, I have read that Naito and Jericho are rumored for that card, supposedly. Jericho won't be on tour with Fozzy at that point. And, it's a USA New Japan show, so they're going to bring all their top guys. So Naito will definitely be there. So that's what I know about that one so far.
All right. Well, we need to talk about something real quick. I'm sorry. Call me generic. I don't care. I enjoy them. I like them a lot, the Bullet Club. And I certainly enjoy me some fucking Kenny Omega. But what I don't like is Kenny Omega and the Bullet Club separate. I don't like it. I can get used to it, I guess. I still love Kenny Omega as one of the top people in the world, and the Bullet Club being one of the top groups in the world. But how do you guys feel about them being apart? Jordan, what do you think about that?
Well, Kenny Omega, you got to think about, he is one of the greatest performers in the world, and it might just be because, though, I have an extra respect for him because he is from Winnipeg, Manitoba, the city that I am born and raised in, unfortunately. And it's good to see him win have all these accomplishments and kind of go that far and everything. It kind of makes him show that he's a superstar and he's living up his full potential, and there's only the beginning for Kenny Omega. I can't wait to see more.
Absolutely. And of course, you have your opinions on it. How do you feel about Kenny Omega possibly not being the leader of the Bullet Club no more? Because has he said that he is separated from the Bullet Club, or is there a storyline continuing with him and Cody that they're going to battle for leadership? That's what I heard. I don't know. What's going on with that?
Well, as I'm sure Jordan will talk about in the coming weeks and stuff, like, it was announced that Omega and Rhodes are going to have a match at, is it Final Battle?
Supercard. It's Supercard.
It's Supercard. Okay, Supercard. Gotcha. And so that'll probably determine kind of where we're going to go in, going forward and stuff. You know, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Rhodes won, because a big thing with Kenny and a lot of people didn't like this. After Wrestle Kingdom, he went on the Chris Jericho podcast, which, like I said, a lot of people didn't like, because a lot of people who aren't around wrestling a lot, you know, they didn't really understand that. They kicked the shit out of each other, and a few days later in a Tokyo hotel, you know, they were joking and laughing with each other or whatever. But Kenny talked a lot about on that podcast about how this is like a big transition right now where he is in his career. Like, he is really starting to move away from the cleaner, like, character that he's been portraying and everything like that.
Right.
I'm sure you saw his entrance, like, at Wrestle Kingdom. You know, he came out with the big Sphinx head and the gun and all that and everything.
Yeah, definitely.
He's literally said, like, the big thing. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. He actually mentioned that The people that made that actually were the same people that make all of War Machine's outfits. He got in contact with them, and they made that for him. But he's really starting to try to embrace, like, it's a really, like, a good clear-cut case of, like, he's going with, like, he's working, like, an angle off of what people are really saying. Like, in my opinion, Kenny's the best wrestler in the world, hands down. The only people that come close relatively to him are Okada, you know, maybe Styles and stuff like that. But as far as working, in my personal opinion, he's the best wrestler in the world, hands down. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of people are starting to recognize him as that. Once again, that's my opinion. I'm not saying that he is, but
right. Certainly.
Like, he's kind of starting to embrace that character. Like, he's really starting to, like, take on this new character. Like, he wants to be kind of, like, seen as, like, you know, the god of wrestling. And that's kind of, like, the character that he's kind of turning into, more or less. So, as much as I'm going to hate to see him, like, potentially not, you know, work with the Young Bucks, I definitely think this is a big step for him as far as the development of his character and, you know, where he's going to be going from here. I think in my opinion, the guy can do no wrong. So quite frankly, whatever they throw at him, I think it's going to be good. But no, I actually enjoy it. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do. I personally don't see them completely breaking up. It's almost like, and I was thinking about this the other day, you know what this reminds me of? It just reminds me of, like, a classic NWO thing where it's kind of like NWO versus the Wolfpack almost. It's, like, almost the exact same thing, you know? So I kind of thought that was pretty neat. But
it's definitely a remnant of it, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't think that it'll be a permanent thing. Obviously, him and the Jacksons, like, I'm fairly certain that they're obviously really close outside of wrestling. So, I mean, even if storyline, kayfabe, you know, they don't, you know, I think they'll always work together and stuff like that. But, no, I actually like what they're doing with the character. I'm really curious to see kind of where they're going to go forward with him. Because with him dropping the title, I mean, that opens up a bunch of opportunities. I can definitely see them doing stuff with Okada again in the future. Cause I mean,
right.
who wouldn't want to see that again, you know? Right.
Yeah. They got to say, I was gonna say before he comes, you know, goes to the WWE, cause folks, that's what's going to happen. They're probably going to have a part two of that. Now, Jordan, I had to ask, since, you know, Kenny King is, you know, lingering in with Ring of Honor right now, which, you know, he's always had a little bit of a presence with Ring of Honor. But with the Super Card of Honor coming up, can you tell folks at home what are we going to expect from Ring of Honor Super Card, and maybe a little foresight, maybe a little prediction of what you think is going to happen at Super Card?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, looking at SuperCard, it's basically, in a nutshell, you're going to see some of the best pure wrestling on the planet. That is what Ring of Honor provides, and that's what it will continue to provide. A favorite, in my opinion, is Kenny King. You know, there's a lot of adrenaline going on in that feud, and I do think he might have the upper hand in the SuperCard of Honor, but the best way to find out is to tune in and check it out.
And there's good news too, because Ring of Honor just announced that they're going to be doing their streaming app or service. I think it's called something Honor. It's it's going to bug me now. Honor Club. Thank you, the Honor Club. And it's going to be apparently just like New Japan, just like Ring of WWE, $9.99, and you're going to be able to stream all of Ring of Honor's content. So, folks, if you're a Ring of Honor fan, good luck. Great news. You don't need to view them on Fight or on YouTube anymore. You'll be able to view everything on this application, this service for $9.99 a month. And I'm almost certain that ringofhonor.com has all that information. So make sure you go into checking that out. And we've talked with Dave Chris tonight, which is fucking awesome. So that means that we talked about Impact Wrestling. That means we talked about Rockstar Pro. We talked about a couple other promotions that he's wrestled with, Japan. We've talked about New Japan. We've talked about Ring of Honor. Folks, we've covered a plethora of things. And since we've done that, now Serious Brad needs to talk about something and dwell on something that has been pissing him off. And what that is when a legend like Lita comes into a woman's first Royal Rumble match, what the fuck? What you do is you pay attention to her enough to where you don't air kick her 4 times in a row. And the person I'm talking about is Sasha fucking Banks. I know I may lose a few fucking listeners over this. That's fine. But it pisses me off that a veteran like that comes into a historic match like that, and you can't show her enough attention to fucking kick her properly so she can at least sell it. She didn't even sell it. That's how bad it was. She just sat there. It pissed me off. I don't know if you guys noticed that. What's your take on it, Lethal J?
I'm not going to lie. I was pretty disappointed with the Women's Rumble. And I thought the fact that Ronda Rousey had to show her ugly ass after, seriously, that was probably pretty mean. She's not that unattractive. But, like, I was really frustrated because I felt that took away from the entire thing. I was like, you just had this big old thing, you know. And the
Royal Rumble match wasn't that bad.
No, WWE, more than ever, they're pushing women's wrestling, and they're going to be pushing it bigger. I mean, obviously, as a lot of people know, that they have their own Elimination Chamber match this year as well coming up. But, like, they're going to be pushing it huge. And, like, so, you know, you figure, you know, you would want to really – I would have ended the show by raising Asuka's hand and that being the end of it.
Right.
But no, they had to, you know, I would have loved to have seen Rousey come out the next day on Raw, and that would have been the great way to end Raw or whatever, and you can go from there. But, man, that just kind of irks me a little bit. I felt that it just overshadowed the entire thing, you know, completely. And this isn't the first time that WWE has kind of made a fool of themselves with women's booking, like the whole Money in the Bank thing. Like, that was fucking terrible. Like, a woman didn't even win.
Yeah,
you know, like,
that was
and there's just so much potential for what they have and the product that they have and the people that they keep bringing in, and then they keep doing stupid booking shit. And it's the reason that I told you at the beginning of the year that as far as TV, like, I'll watch the pay-per-views, but the TV, I can't fucking stand it anymore, dude. It's so terrible. It's just so bad. Like, I don't even understand who they're trying to appeal to. It's like they're not even appealing to the common fan anymore. It's literally like that episode of South Park where they just throw all these ideas into a fucking tank and a manatee just picks what the fuck's gonna happen. It literally feel like they just throw a bunch of ideas into like a bucket, and then they grab it out, and then they match it up with another idea, and whatever it is, that's what the fuck they're gonna do.
And folks, and this is one of the reasons why we push the independent circuit so much, because there's so much out there that won't ruin professional wrestling for you. Because if you do sit there and watch, and don't get me wrong, WWE is it. That's the daddy. Okay, that's where you go.
Pretty much everybody that was on the NXT show came from independents, and NXT put on probably one of the greatest wrestling shows I've seen in the longest time. They had the best NXT match I've seen just about ever. It was my second favorite one of all time. It's great.
I feel bad because I wanted to ask Dave Chris about that, because Dave Chris is really close friends with Aleister Black, and I really wanted to ask him if he had any reverb from him having won probably one of the most epic matches that NXT had with Adam Cole. But Jordan, how'd you feel about
the Women's Royal Rumble. Do you agree with me on the Sasha Banks and the air kicking situation? Was there anything that kind of irked you about the Royal Rumble this year?
Well, guys, you know when Dave Crist explained to the world that literally what happened was is what you learn. You learn in the ring. You have your eyes open, your ears open, and your mouth shut. That's basically the best way I can explain it. So
yeah.
When someone's in the corner and you don't give it your heart when you're in that match, and that's a veteran in the ring, and she's telling you what to do and you don't follow through with it, that does come across as disrespectful. And Sasha Banks never had that problem before. But the fact that
right.
she wasn't listening and made it look bad and now the audience can see it is very unprofessional on her end.
I agree with you. It's completely disrespectful, and it upsets me, because when you have a show that is, you know, trying to make people understand that wrestling is fucking everywhere. It's one of the most watched events, programs, activities that there is in the world, and that's combined with baseball, football, Super Bowl, you know, Stanley Cup. They put these stats up on TV. You can see them all the time. Whether you like it or not, I guarantee you do. That's what I'm saying. That's how much wrestling is watched. You may be embarrassed, but you fucking watch it. I guarantee you, if you go and ask somebody who a famous football player is, who a famous basketball player, baseball player is, they may be able to answer that question. But I guarantee you ask someone who a professional wrestler is, they're going to say somebody and it's going to be Hulk Hogan or it's going to be something like that, but I guarantee they're going to answer that question. But when you're trying to make people get interested in professional wrestling, it's into something that I feel is a family affair. It's something that people can get behind. It's something that people can cheer behind. It's just something that a mass of people can just enjoy and just be a community, if you will. And then you have something like that happen, and just people, you know, you have all those people that you had at the line going, oh, this is really awesome, that, you know, they're sitting there going, hey, it's fake. As soon as that shit happens, they turn right the fuck around at you and point their finger and go, see, I fucking told you. It pisses me off. And it just, you know, when you're Sasha Banks and you're sitting there saying that you're the best and that you deserve the best, and you just, you know, blah, blah, fucking blah. That's what I hear out of your mouth now. That's what I hear out of your mouth. When you go up against a veteran like that in a fucking historic match like that, that's what I hear out of your mouth from now on. And I needed to vent about that, and I needed to vent on my fucking platform. And if people get upset, I'm sorry. Email me. You always fucking do when you don't like such shit I say. I get them. Trust me. But when it comes to this, I'm standing my ground. When you're a professional, you act like a professional, and you give fucking veterans the attention that they deserve. We're going to get off that because, you know, my computer's about to fucking blow up. Is there anything else, guys, that is going on? Road WrestleMania, shit's going down. What are some things that you guys are kind of looking forward to with the road to WrestleMania? You got Elimination Chamber coming up, and you got a Women's Elimination Chamber coming up. How are we feeling about this? Lethal J.
Good. I'm anxious to see what's going to happen and everything. I feel it's pretty obvious that Roman's probably going to win the Elimination Chamber and once again go on to the main event of WrestleMania for, I believe, the fourth straight time, get booed for the fourth straight time, probably win the title. We'll see what happens. But anyway, while going down to NXT, NXT is hot right now. I suggest if people are not watching NXT, you go watch it because it is the wrestling show to watch right now.
I'm watching it right
Andre,
now.
Cian Almas and Joey Gargano put on the greatest NXT match I have ever seen. Like I said earlier, it is my second favorite NXT match of all time behind Zayn and Nakamura. If you haven't seen it yet, you need to watch it. It was the first WWE five-star match since 2011, which was John Cena and CM Punk. So definitely check that out. A lot of good stuff coming up in the NXT tapings. I got all kinds of spoilers. I'm not going to drop them all, but we are going to get to see Ricochet debut soon. So far, I haven't heard anything on EC3 yet, but obviously he signed with the company. He made a little appearance at the NXT TakeOver Philadelphia.
His promo was garbage, though.
Yeah. We're gonna see some stuff from Aleister Black and Killian Dane. More than likely, the winner of that's gonna end up being the next opponent for Almas. And the big thing with NXT is, of course, Tommaso Ciampa and Joey Gargano and everything like that. That is gonna be a great match that will obviously take place WrestleMania weekend at the NXT event. In my opinion, that match should be on WrestleMania card. That's going to be a fucking crazy match. That's probably going to steal the show, honestly. That probably steal the whole weekend. For those of you who haven't watched it, they had a match at the Cruiserweight Classic that was a very, very, very good match. And this is just going to be a bigger stage for them to perform on. With that said, also, I will leak a little bit more. Almas and Gargano have another match that took place at the latest tapings, and the match is a title versus career match. So a lot to come of that. We're going to see some, like I said, NXT right now is fucking hot, and it's really good, and I'm enjoying it. I was very disappointed to not see Lars Sullivan at the tapings. He was not at any of the tapings at all. I guess actually he's working through a knee injury, and also no Leo Rush right now either because of all that controversial Twitter shit. Which, great, another fucking casualty of social fucking media.
Right.
Tons of good stuff. New Japan, of course. It's New Japan. It's hot right now. It's great. Tons of good stuff. A little underwhelmed by Jay White, I will say. Still, he's still growing on me. He's really still growing on me. I know you've talked a little bit about this, Brett. Yeah, I know that you like. I know you like kind of like Jay and everything like that. His match with Kenny was, like, it was good, but it was just, he's just, like, so, like, stiff-looking in the ring. He just, like, I don't mean his moves are stiff, but he literally, I mean him as, like, in his, like, body, like, he looks
Well, it's,
stiff.
It's almost
he
like
looks
he's trying
awkward.
Well, he's trying to be technical still. He's so focused
right.
on being, you know, a sound technician. That it's noticeable, and that's
right.
that's a good thing. That's a bad thing. Obviously, it's a bad thing because you notice it, but it's a good thing because you know once he gets that down, he's gonna
yep.
be a lot more comfortable, and he's gonna be someone like Kenny Omega or AJ Styles
right.
because
right.
you know those guys. That's all they do. That they
right.
just fucking zone. They just you know. Just, and they fucking zone it, and it's perfect. But that's what I see in Jay White. That's what I'm kind of hoping. But
for sure.
But
yeah, like NXT, like I said, another big thing is Roderick Strong going to 205 Live. That's another big kind of
yep.
thing right there. Him and Itami, I guess, had a match last night. That was pretty good. But
another
yeah, tons
good
of good stuff
about
coming up.
Real quick, since you said 205 Live.
Yes.
Vince McMahon was actually in charge of 205 Live, and he just recently gave Triple H 205 Live. So now Triple H will be running NXT and 205 Live. So hopefully 205 gets a little more attention and gets, gets a little more beefier, if you will,
yeah.
in the sense of their –
Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali put, like, on a real, real early, like, match of the year candidate for WWE last week. So, yeah, hopefully that product really needs something, unfortunately. I really just – I wish they wouldn't do the show. I wish that they just, like, and I you can keep Raw at 3 hours. I would have personally stuck the cruiserweights on SmackDown and let them just kept it on SmackDown or whatever. But that's just me. Hopefully, now that I wasn't aware of the whole Vince and Triple H thing, so now that that's in his hands, hopefully that's, you know, hopefully he kind of can get that on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
I think that's all I have. I'll stop talking, and I'll hand it over to Jordan and stuff like that. So, but yeah, tons of good stuff. Watch NXT, watch New Japan, and that's about it.
For $9.99. For $9.99.
Yeah, right.
And that's what's awesome, guys. Like, literally, like, for $30, you can pretty much watch every bit of wrestling that there is in the world. And that's fucking awesome to me. I don't know about you guys, but like, that makes me happy inside. That gives me the rainbows, if you will. Whatever. I say fucking things. Jordan, J.R. Garber, what else has been on your side?
Well, I've been watching a lot of ICW, which is based in Scotland, and that stuff's been great. Also, pay attention to WXW in Germany, where Winnipeg Zone, and I got to give credit. I love my hometown. Certain things I don't like, but for the most part, love my hometown. Tyler Colton is on WXW Germany's tour. I think it's televised as well. It's going to be big. From somebody from Winnipeg, just training with Mentolo and working his way up. Now he's in Germany. So keep an eye on WXW. It's stronger than ever. It's going to be great. As well, just check out your local independent wrestling show. The number of fans make a difference. We try to do the best we can to put on the best show for you. So just any support helps. So come on, check out the show and tell your friends and spread the word of professional wrestling like it's gospel.
Yeah, man. And like, hit us with those likes and those shares and those follows and those, you know, Insta whatever fucking all that stuff. Hit us up with it, guys. Because like he said, that's what we've been, you know, when I started this show, that's what I wanted to do. My point of view was, I'm not a radio show host. I am a super fan that is just trying to get as much as he can, and I'm just enjoying it with you guys. Right, exactly. And, of course, Lethal J, we're all fucking super fans. We love wrestling to a fault sometimes. But you know what? I don't think there is a fault when it comes to pro wrestling. But anyways, guys, of course, you know, we can't leave the show without saying happy birthdays. You know what I'm saying? You know, tomorrow, Thursday, February 8th, it's the Big Show's birthday. It is Classy Freddie Blassie's birthday. Jim the Anvil Neidhart and Sensational Sherry. So, of course, folks, if you want to, if these are any of your favorite people, I guarantee you they have social media. You know, one of the 17, go say happy birthday to these people. I'm sure they'll enjoy it. And, of course, the Big Show, you know, he probably won't be, you know, paying attention to social media because his wife is fucking hot. Have you guys seen the Big Show's wife?
Big Show, dude? That dude is freaking looking to hell, like, fucking crazy good lately. That
dude's
lost so much weight. It's crazy.
I was kind of hoping that I'd see him do a little bit more in the ring, but you know what? He did his best. He did his job. Well, hey, guys. First of all, we need to give a shout-out to our sponsors real quick before we say goodbye. Squared Circle Apparel, Tim, what's up, dude? You're putting out some awesome clothing. Go check them out, squarecircleapparel.com. Put in promo code SERIOUSBRAD. That's going to get you 15% off of your top order. Go check out HiQ Hydration Energy, liquidhq.com. These guys are putting out a all-natural, none of the bad, no crash energy drink. And of course, our home, thechairshot.com. Guys, it's been an awesome show. We got to talk to Dave, Chris. We got to tell you guys what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. And folks, remember, it's never a bad time. Good night.